AZ Post Board Meeting for October 21st. And if I can, we'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. If Chief Kelly, you will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
If you don't mind if I stay, is it okay if I stay over here today?
Yeah, you bet, Matt. Sounds right. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple introductions. Actually, first, if we could do a roll call, just since we're doing it virtually. Captain Bischoff is in the room. Sheriff Daniels, have you joined us? Sheriff Daniels, are you with us?
Don't see him.
Okay, we'll go on. Chief Kelly's in the room. Miss Kelly, have you joined us?
Yes, I have.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Johnson, have you joined us?
Good morning.
Good morning, yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lefevre, I see you on the screen. Can you hear us?
I can. Thank you, everybody.
Good morning. Officer Medina, I can see you as well. Can you hear us?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Colonel Silbert's in the room. Deputy Director Joe Porfiri, I can see you. Can you hear us?
I muted him.
Yeah. Joe, can you hear us? We muted you. You're going to need to unmute. Joe, can you unmute? We can mute you, we just can't unmute you. Okay, we'll go on. We can see you. Ms. Weiss, can you hear us?
I can, I'm here, thank you.
Good morning, thank you. And just confirming, Sheriff Masher and Chief Rodbell rolled absent today. And then with that, I'll go into my introductions. Darcy Nichols in the back there, if you could stand for us. Darcy just joined us in our training side of the house. Darcy comes to us and she was a Scottsdale PD sergeant. And then most recently, she was an administrator with the city of Scottsdale.
Correct.
We're excited to have her. She's going to be Ron Bain's partner as they rebuild our basic leadership, all of our advanced officer training. So she comes with a wealth of experience, an incredible amount of enthusiasm, and we're really fortunate to have her. So look for good things in 2021 with Ron and Darcy at the helm, pushing out all of our advanced leadership training. So I just wanted you to place a face with a name. Darcy, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. And with that, Colonel, if you mind, I'm done with my introductions. I'm happy to go right into my director's report.
Yes, sir.
Joe's back, by the way. He's on mute.
Okay, thank you. Joe, just confirming you can hear us.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, sir. All right, going into my director's report, just a few things I wanted to cover this morning. Our CGF funds, we've been anticipating a steep decline, and knock on wood, we haven't seen that yet. We're still meeting our budget expectations, and we're hoping to continue that through fiscal year 21. A couple other things. Last week, we hosted a virtual vulnerable adult training. It was really, really well done. It was in conjunction with APAC. We hosted some local service providers to include Adult Protective Services. We actually hosted it here in the boardroom. We brought in three different instructors. Dan, Dale, and the other Dan did a phenomenal job with the technology. We had some hiccups due to a power outage we had the week before, but they were able to overcome on short notice and get it done. It was very professional. We probably had just shy of 100 people that were watching through live stream. It was a combination of both attorneys and law enforcement officers. First time we've really done a combined training like that. So attorneys went through the Bar Association, law enforcement officers went through us, and we're able to come together and provide one really good training. It was 3 hours of continuing training credit for both peace officers and 3 hours of continuing training for the attorney. So again, I've gotten some really good feedback on it. And now that we have the technology, and again, just it's so much easier to push out training to 100 people when we can do it remotely. So I look forward to continuing that model moving forward. A couple other things. Our Basic Leadership Academy started this week. As I've told you before, it's a new format. It's a 1-month online that they started this week, and then actually the week of our board meeting next month, the 35 applicant or the 35 attendees will be here on premises getting their in-person instruction. So again, we're really excited about it. It's a really robust curriculum. And again, we'll tweak anything that needs to be changed afterwards. We're going to be soliciting feedback from the participants all the way throughout the program to make sure that they believe it's worth their while and how we can make it better in the future if that's possible. So really excited about that. We've already advertised for our second class, which is going to be in the first quarter of 2021. It begins, if I remember correctly, Darcy, correct if I'm wrong, but it's the last week of February, I believe it starts, the online portion, with the in-person portion in March. So again, we're really excited about that class. We're also going to be pushing out, Darcy and Ron are working on our executive leadership program that'll take place of the former advanced leadership training we used to host, and that should come out in the first quarter of 2021 as well. Other things I want to talk about is last week I sat on a GRC meeting, so the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, which is not easy to say, by the way, but they approved all of the changes to our statutes that the board approved last summer. There's a 60-day waiting period for some of the rules changes to take effect, so they'll take effect the first part of December. The majority and the bulk of what we were looking for, the minimum qualifications, have a six-month waiting period, so those will go into effect in April of 2021. We've already pushed that out to all the background investigators, all the agency hiring managers, but again, it's exciting that last week we finally were able to close that chapter, and now it's just a waiting game until the waiting periods are over. Job task analysis, I've talked about this in the past. In early 2018, prior to my arrival, Arizona Post commissioned a job task analysis to really understand what the basic needs are of a new peace officer. As part of that, they gave us a bunch of recommendations for training. Mandy Faust, we gave that to her about 6 months ago. She jumped in with both feet, and she worked through the entire program with her team. And next month, we will be presenting you the findings of the JTA and how we're going to move forward based on those recommendations. So I'm excited that's finally concluding. It took longer than I had expected, but once Mandy got involved, it really moved along very quickly. So I owe her a debt of gratitude. And then finally, I've talked about it before, but our digital personal history form. I've talked about how it's getting ready to go live. We already have three agencies that are using it, and they're giving really good feedback to Dan Wilson. Over the last week and a half, Dan Wilson and all the associated compliance specialists have hosted virtual training with every agency in the state. We extend an invitation to every agency. I've been told in each one of those classes he's been doing two a day for 12 days or for 6 days, and we had 40 to 80 people on each one of those calls, or each one of those virtual meetings that he was able to go through and demo the online personal history form. It's a complete deviation from the way we've done things in the past, because now we'll be the keeper of that record. And I'm really hopeful that once we push this out and every agency is using it, you will no longer hear cases of people submitting multiple PH forms and then coming before the board, because this system should greatly reduce, if not completely eliminate, the ability to submit multiple forms to different agencies. So really excited about that. But that ends my director's report, but I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, this is Andy. Oh, go ahead, John.
Yes, sir. I had a few questions, Mr. Chairman, on the report. There was a section in the agenda that talked about communications with law enforcement associations, groups, and agencies. And I wanted to ask a few questions about the note that we received from our executive director concerning a Secretary of State. Who did those documents go to?
You kind of cut out there, Mr. Johnson. Your question was about the notification from the Secretary of State's office, and your question was, who did it go to? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, sir. Who did you distribute those documents to?
I forwarded that email to all agency heads in the state of Arizona at the request of the Secretary of State's office.
Now, how do you go about determining what communication you would provide in that way?
In this case, that was done out of a courtesy for a fellow state agency.
Okay. Now, do you do an independent review of those documents before you push them out?
I do not, and specifically in this case, I trust that the Secretary of State, who oversees state elections, would verify the accuracy of the information. And as you, if you saw the email and the information they put out, we did provide them with the contact information, both email and phone number, for the elections director in the state of the Secretary of State's office.
Well, you probably agree that the Secretary of State, of course, doesn't enforce the criminal law concerning elections, or probably isn't required to or qualified to provide law enforcement guidance on those laws concerning criminal conduct around the polling location.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I'm not sure. You're asking if I agree with that? I'm not sure I understand.
Yep. Yeah, you would agree that the Secretary, it's not the Secretary of State's role to enforce those criminal laws governing elections, or is the Secretary really required or qualified to provide law enforcement guidance on those laws?
Mr. Chairman, can I interject for a minute, Colonel?
Please.
Thank you. As legal counsel, this is Mark Brachtel for the board. This item has not been agendized. And my recommendation is that any continuing discussion that it would be agendized for the next board meeting, particularly if we're going to get more in depth on the subject.
I concur. I'm not sure I'm following the topic at hand, or if this is the forum for the topic at hand. So I would concur if we want to agendize this item, if it's applicable to something that would apply to the board, but I'm not exactly sure how.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Let's please do that. Let's please have it on the agenda for our next meeting.
Before we do that, I guess I'd want to ask, under what premise, what is it we're looking to accomplish?
I have some concerns about the communication and some of the content in it, and it might be good for the board to know what communications are going out before they actually do.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I guess my question would be how it would involve the AZ Post board to make that determination of information that's coming from another entity in regards to law enforcement. I'm not sure following the gist of the question myself, but I think it's just something we should discuss
Chair,
further.
What I'm suggesting is that the communication went out from our executive director to all of law enforcement. And perhaps the board should weigh in before that communication is disseminated by the board.
Are you suggesting this with anything that the director of Arizona Post sends out? Or are you suggesting on
about
this
that,
specific issue due to sensitivity about the elections?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's Lisa White. Sorry to interrupt. But I just want to let you know that we're experiencing the same audio issues that we had last month, wherein those of us participating by Zoom and not in the boardroom itself are having difficulty understanding words that are coming, and especially when people talk at the same time, it becomes a blur. So when you were giving the presentation, I lost some of your words. So I just want to let you know before we go further.
Okay, ma'am. Well, I think on a, like I said, if there's a specific issue that would be applicable to something that would go out, I think the director of Arizona Post sends out multiple different things to the board and has historically throughout the years without vetting those issues. I would think something coming from the Secretary of State's office you would take as something that would be valid. I don't think it was a directive in any way, shape, or form, from my understanding of it, to law enforcement or to Arizona Post. We can discuss it next time, but the next time we discuss this, the elections will be over. So we can, if, if it's something we want to put on the agenda, we can do that. But I think we have to be specific about what that agenda item would be.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. And I think that one of the things, one of the categories or the category that you might put it under is how these communications that go on from our executive director on behalf of the board, how it should be determined what those and how they should be reviewed before they go out. Members of the board may, in principle, disagree with statements in such.
Okay, well, I think some of this can be discussed in a different manner, but I don't want to take the time of the meeting today to continue on this topic. So I'd say let's move to another topic, and we can determine with Mr. Johnson how he would want the item agendized at a later time.
We can absolutely do that. Thank
okay,
you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy.
Go ahead, Andy.
Thank you, sir. So, Matt, I attended a meeting with members of the Democratic Senate and House leadership where they were talking about some of their law enforcement items that they may be trying to bring forward next session. And one of the items was around law enforcement training. I did not speak on behalf of the board member. I know there are some questions around the process that POST is going through to redo their training curriculum. So I wanted to bring that to your attention, and perhaps if you're agreeable, Matt, provide you with the information of who was involved in that, and perhaps have you reach out to them directly to walk them through that process.
Yes, Andy, I can do that. If you would forward me that information, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, thank you. I'll get that to you as early as I can, probably Monday.
Thank you, sir.
Is there any other items anybody needs to discuss before we move to the consent agenda? Okay, and with that, I would call for a motion to accept the consent agenda and previous items and minutes.
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy. I move that we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Tom Kelly, second.
Okay, second. Can I hear the ayes, please?
Aye.
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 Okay. And with that, we will move to Mr. Brackel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mark Brackel on behalf of the state. The first item is a petition by the Superior Police Department. The applicant is Ms. Jessica Brown. Ms. Brown consumed Strattera 9 times when she was 14 years old, and this was 12 years ago in 2008. Strattera is a prescription drug. It does not contain ingredients which classifies it as either a dangerous drug or narcotic. Her conduct, however, does not meet a minimum POST qualification, and the rule specifically is that there must be no pattern of abuse of prescription medication. The Superior Police Department has submitted a petition. It is attached to your board packet, and so is a copy of my board communication. The board should analyze the petition, whether her consumption of Strattera as a child is juvenile indiscretion under Rule 105D. Your board communication lists the factors for the board's consideration. I believe that an executive officer from Superior Police Department is present to address the board.
Okay. Is someone online from Superior PD?
Yes, this is Chief Frank Alanis.
Hi, Chief. Did you want to go ahead and present?
I do. So good morning, Chairman and members of the board. My name is Frank Alanis. I am the Chief of Police for the Superior Police Department. I'd like to start by saying thank you for your time and the opportunity to bring this matter before you. I'm here to discuss my petition with Ms. Brown's juvenile indiscretion. Let me start by giving you background on Ms. Brown. Ms. 28 years So she was born in New Zealand and moved to Virginia when she was a young. She graduated from high school. She moved to Arizona and attended Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University located in Prescott. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in global security and intelligence studies. As an adult, Ms. Found worked as a deputy sheriff for the Spotsylvania and Louisa Sheriff's Department, which are both located in Virginia. Ms. Brown has a little over 3 years of experience in law enforcement as a deputy sheriff. While in high school, at the age of 14 years old, she took prescription medication, Strattera, which is for ADHD, that was not prescribed to her 10 times. Ms. Brown stated she took the prescription medication for study purposes. She also ingested an unknown prescription pill she got from a friend. She did this one time, and it was for experimental purposes. She was 14 years old at that time also. Based upon conversations with her and our background investigation, I am of the opinion that this was nothing more than juvenile indiscretion. In regards to the prescription medication, the conduct in question occurred 12 years ago. I am of the opinion that due to Ms. Brown's age, which was 14 at the time of the occurrence, that her immaturity led to the violations occurring. Her actions at that age did not define her adult life, and I personally do not believe that her conduct at that age would jeopardize the public welfare and safety if she were to be certified in the state of Arizona. In regards to Ms. Brown, I believe she'll make a positive impact, not just in the department and community, but law enforcement in Arizona as a whole. She's smart, experienced, has the right attitude to do many things in her career. I am asking the board to please honor my petition.
Okay, Chief, I do have one question for you. It was also mentioned about one other issue with the discrepancy between the Louisa County Sheriff's Department and the departure therein. Do you need to cover that, or you just?
Well, that wasn't brought up, so I wasn't sure. I'm prepared to talk about that, though, if you'd like.
If it's not an issue, then we don't need to discuss it.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Brechtel, it's not an issue for today.
All right. Does anybody want to make a motion to accept the waiver?
Mr. Chair, Lisa Wise.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Based upon the information submitted by the Superior Police Department and pursuant to Rule 14.4.105B, I move that the board grant the request for waiver on applicant Jessica Brown.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Tom Kelly, you'll second.
Second. Can I hear all the ayes?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Okay. And the next item,
Mr. Brown. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're on agenda item F. This is a petition by the Avondale Police Department. The applicant is Gabriela Machuca. In 2016, 4 years ago, the applicant used a vape pen to smoke marijuana oil twice. She was in high school at the time. Marijuana in the form of oil is considered cannabis, which is a narcotic. Her conduct does not meet current minimum post qualifications. Specifically, Rule 105A14. Her two uses of a narcotic is subject to the 7-year limitation. The analysis for the board proceeds under Rule 103G. Are the best interests of the law enforcement profession served? And will the public welfare and safety not be jeopardized? In your board packet is a board communication. And I do believe that an executive officer from Avondale Police Department is present to address the board.
Take it, that's Chief Tovar.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead and go ahead. Again, I'm Assistant Chief Louie Tovar representing Chief Dale Nanigay here with the Avondale Police Department. Again, I'd like to speak to you on behalf of one of our new hires that is currently in the academy class. We were alerted by one of your compliance specialists, Dave Toporek, who brought this to our attention during a post-audit. Again, this young lady's name is Gabriela Machuca. During her background investigation, she disclosed that this experimentation of marijuana occurred sometime when she was, again, as a juvenile, sometime between the ages of 16 and 18, when she smoked marijuana via a vaping pen provided to her by one of her friends while sitting in a parked car. She describes her mindset of this use as simply with marijuana with friends and just trying to fit in as a group. During her background investigation, she completed a polygraph examination which confirmed marijuana use, convinced that Ms. Pachuca didn't realize that using a vaping pen that contained marijuana oil is considered narcotic. Upon further examination, Machuca believes that she's pretty accurate that she did it at least one time, wasn't sure at the time of the exam, so she stated that she did it at least twice. The polygraph examiner concluded that she was truthful. Ms. Pachuca's career goal has always been to become not just a police officer, but an Avondale police officer. As she matured and became aware of the needed criteria for this goal, she worked hard to achieve it. She spent the next 4-plus years preparing herself. She's now 22 years old. She's the daughter of a tenured employee with the city of Avondale. She's an operations supervisor in the Public Works Department. Ms. Pachuca has earned her bachelor's degree in criminal justice at NAU. She attended the Avondale Citizens Police Academy in 2018, which led her to become an active Avondale police volunteer in 2019. To date, Ms. Pachuca has volunteered over 297 hours of her time, and she's received a unit citation for her assistance by patrolling within the city of Avondale. We believe Gabby Pachuca is an outstanding hire who has impressively accomplished much in her young life. We're confident that she will represent us and serve us well in our community as one of our police officers. And she is currently attending Purple, again, progressing well as a member of Class Number 542. And we respectfully request that you grant this waiver. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Can I get a motion to accept or deny this waiver?
Mr. Chairman, Don Bischoff, I'll make that motion. Based upon the information submitted by the Avondale Police Department pursuant to Rule 134.103G, I move that board grant the request for waiver on applicant Gabriella Machuca.
Get a second?
Mr. Chair. Let's second with comment. This is one of those cases that we've talked about over a period of time that the new rules will remedy. So without that, I second the motion.
Okay. And can I hear any ayes or nays?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you, Chair.
And we are on to the next subject for Omar Villa Corta, motion for reconsideration by Ms. LaRocque, and I am going to recuse myself from this.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is John Johnson on behalf of Mr. Brnovich. I'm going to recuse myself as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Quorum?
Who will be the chair?
Oh, I can pass it to Mr.
I will let the chief take it.
Okay.
Okay.
I assume the role. So yeah. Designated.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Jennifer LaRocque on behalf of the state of Arizona. This motion included in your packet is in regard to the Villa Corta matter. The post staff and the state request the board dismiss the complaint. It is believed if brought to a hearing, the board cannot demonstrate by a preponderance of the evidence the respondent committed the conduct as alleged. Mr. Chair, members of the board, I will briefly summarize the motion's content provided in your packet. The Department of Transportation terminated Mr. Villa Corta in 2019. The termination report indicated an internal investigation found he violated the agency's policy for its code of conduct during an off-duty incident involving his underage daughter surrounding a traffic-related matter. The trooper involved contacted his daughter and Mr. Villa Corta's residence. During the interaction between the state trooper and his daughter, Mr. Villa Corta was subsequently arrested for aggravated assault against the trooper. The post-compliance specialist presented the charges to the board on November 20, 2019, and the board voted to initiate proceedings. The allegations are as follows. On 3/30/2019, while off-duty, Officer Omar Villa Corta interfered in a traffic-related issue involving his daughter and a Department of Public Safety trooper. On 3/30/2019, Officer Omar Villa Corta used inappropriate language towards a DPS trooper. The same day, Officer Omar Villa Corta ignored directions to back away that were given by the DPS trooper. On 3/30/29, same day, while the DPS trooper was using his left forearm to try and keep Officer Omar Villa Corta at a distance, Villa Corta knocked his arm away. on 3/30/2019. After Officer Omar Villacorta knocked the DPS trooper's forearm away, Villacorta raised his clenched fist to approximately ear level. On 3/30/2019, fearing there was going to be a physical confrontation, the DPS trooper requested backup and began ordering Officer Villacorta to get on the ground. Villacorta refused to obey the trooper's orders. On 3/30/2019, the Department of Public Safety trooper felt threatened by Officer Omar Villacorta to the point that he drew his taser and was ready to deploy until he found out Villacorta was a police officer. So post staff and the assistant AG began preparation for the hearing. During such time, they obtained new information that, based on their review, would render the prior evidence insufficient to initiate proceedings and move forward with the hearing. The case basically hinges on testimonial evidence from Mr. Villacorta and his daughter versus the trooper's version of the events. Video or audio evidence to support either version of the incident was not available. However, unrelated to this case, the state trooper subsequently became the subject of three separate internal investigations pertaining to the veracity and character of his ability for trustworthiness. The third investigation commenced when, as a requirement of his employment, he allegedly refused to cooperate in the second internal investigation. Just recently, staff was notified of yet a fourth investigation underway for a new allegation levied against the trooper. In addition, staff has been unsuccessful in attempts at reaching the trooper for follow-up and his availability for this hearing. This trooper is no longer employed with the state agency. The criminal charges against Mr. Villacorta were dropped. As a result, post-staff asked the board to dismiss this matter in light of the new information concerning the case. The attorney for Mr. Villacorta, Ms. Donna McDaniel, is available through a phone call if there are questions for her. As a side note, she informed me that Mr. Villacorta has moved on and is no longer working in law enforcement. With that, I will be happy to answer any questions for the board.
Board, have any question, follow-up questions? Hearing none, if I have a motion.
Mr. Chair, Don Bischoff, I move to grant the state's motion for reconsideration and dismiss the November 20th, 2019 complaint.
Second.
Do I have a second? Director Shin, I second.
Did you capture that name? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed. Back to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, new cases. First case up, Mark Guerrero.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case does involve Martin Guerrero, formerly with the Scottsdale Police Department. Mr. Guerrero was hired by Scottsdale PD and scheduled to attend an upcoming police academy class. Prior to the beginning of the academy, Scottsdale PD requires recruits to record their physical training activities on log sheets and to submit these log sheets for review. This is to ensure recruits are physically prepared for the training they will soon receive. Once pre-academy training started, Scottsdale instructors noticed Guerrero fell out of a conditioning run and that he was unable to do push-ups during a PT session. Training staff looked at the 9 fitness logs he had turned in and noted what they termed, quote, a vast discrepancy between the workouts he claimed, unquote, and his actual physical condition. On January 8, 2020, Scottsdale PD staff again conducted physical training with Mr. Guerrero and this time chose a workout his logs indicated he had recently completed. Guerrero quickly fell out of a conditioning run and was unable to complete calisthenics as instructed by staff. Instructors confronted Guerrero about his conditioning, and he denied embellishing his fitness logs, saying he had been recently ill. Upon further questioning, he admitted he embellished his fitness logs and was terminated from the agency. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that, Mr. Chairman, that you have or the board member have.
Any questions?
Since he was never actually Since he was never actually certified, and he's a recruit, He doesn't have a certification.
That is,
this would ultimately be a situation for denial of certification.
Okay. Anyone have any other questions? And with that, can I get a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Guerrero's peace officer certification.
Don Bischoff, second.
I have a second. Can I hear ayes or nays, please?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? Okay, motion passes. And then we will move on to number two, and that will be Daniel Carbajal. Mike Delton.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton, one of your compliance specialists. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
All right, thank you. This does involve former Page Police Officer Daniel Carbajal. On June 29th, 2019, Officer Carbajal received a phone call from his wife regarding disturbing allegations involving their 13-year-old son and a younger sibling. These allegations were being, at the time, investigated by the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Daniel Carbajal, Officer Carbajal received the call. He was on duty, and when he arrived home later that evening, he confronted his son, who was in bed. Daniel grabbed his son by the front of his shirt and shook him, and also slapped his son with the back of his hand, open hand. Daniel's son sustained a cut near his mouth and red marks on his chest, where Officer Carbajal's knuckles would have come in contact with his son's chest or clavicle area while shaking him. No medical treatment was required that night, and Officer Carbajal did report the incident to his supervisor the next morning. The criminal case involving Officer Carbajal striking his son was submitted to the Coconino County Attorney's Office, and a summons was issued directing Carbajal to appear on a child abuse charge. However, the summons was mailed to Carbajal's residential address as opposed to his post office box and was subsequently returned as undeliverable. Officer Carbajal, as well as other residents in his town, cannot receive mail at his home. All mail is delivered to residents' post office boxes. Carbajal was never notified of the summons, and because he did not receive or answer the summons, a warrant was later issued for his arrest. Officer Carbajal was made aware of the summons and subsequent warrant, and he explained what had occurred, and the warrant was eventually quashed. The Page Police Department did sustain policy violations against Officer Carbajal regarding him speaking about the investigation to a sergeant and another officer, neither of which were involved in the internal investigation, after he was ordered not to discuss the matter after he received an NOI. Effective September 26, 2019, Officer Carbajal resigned from the Page Police Department. On February 13, 2020, Mr. Carbajal entered into a deferred prosecution agreement, or a DPA, with the Coconino County Adult Probation Department, in which he agreed to complete anger management and parenting classes by July 28, 2020. According to the DPA, once Carbajal successfully completes the two classes, the single count of child abuse, domestic violence, which is a Class 6 felony, was to be dismissed. The DPA is not a guilty plea. It's not a sentencing order or a conviction. The DPA is instead an agreement that can result in the dismissal of all charges. Mr. Carbajal has not formally admitted to committing any criminal offense. On June 19th of 2020, I first brought this to your at the charging board, and the board voted to table this case until the date of the DPA is due, which was July 28th of 2020. Mr. Carbajal successfully completed all requirements of his DPA, and on September 14th of 2020, an order issued by the Flagstaff Justice of the Peace dismissed Carbajal's charges with prejudice. There are no criminal charges pending at this time. Based on the uniqueness of this case, and unlike anything that I've seen or able to find in the database, there is no recommendation by staff. Are there any questions?
Does anyone have any questions?
Mr. Chair, just one question. In the report we have, it shows that the officer is resigned and he's still off the job.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anyone have any other questions? It appears as though multiple actions have been taken with this person. Having read this case in depth, there were some rather intense extenuating circumstances with the case, I would propose a motion to move no action with agency discretion.
This is Lisa Weiss, I second.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Brechtel, if you could reframe that as a motion, a specific motion that could be seconded.
You bet. Okay, I would make a motion for no action with agency discretion.
I would second. Tom Kelly, second.
Have any ayes? Nays?
Did Lisa have a question or comment, or was she going to second?
I was going to second. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay.
And do we have ayes?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, that motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Okay, and the next case up is Daniel Carbajal.
Christopher Meyer.
Oh, okay, we're going to. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Christopher Meyer, my bad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This does involve former Phoenix police officer Christopher Meyer. On May 27th of 2019, at an apartment complex in Phoenix, Phoenix police officers Christopher Meyer and Stephen Cullen made contact with Mr. D.A. and Ms. I.H. in a car because of an allegation of shoplifting earlier and a failure to stop for another officer, Nichols Welch, that officer at the shop, which was at the shoplifting scene. IH's two children, ages 1 year and 4 years, were present during this incident. Officer Meyer and Officer Cullen both shouted profanities at making contact. Are you guys still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I lost your video. Okay. So, Officer Meyer and Officer Cullen both shouted profanities at making contact with DA and IH. Officer Meyer also verbally threatened to shoot them if they did not comply with his commands to get their hands up. Shortly after taking DA into custody, Meyer administered a kick to DA's right leg while he was still handcuffed, causing DA's knees to buckle. Officer Meyer failed to notify a supervisor of the force that he had used and failed to document the force used in this incident report. None of the officers at the scene was equipped with body-worn cameras if they had not been issued at that date. The incident was captured on cell phone videos from two separate angles. On June 11th of 2019, the cell phone video was released on various social media platforms and resulted in negative media coverage and social commentary, both local and national. After Officer Meyer had searched DA, Officer Snyder, another Phoenix officer, arrived on the scene and took control of DA. Officer Meyer then made contact with Ms. IH, who was holding her youngest child. Meyer was attempting to detain IH, and at one point grabbed her right arm to gain control of her while shouting at her. IH was also shouting back at Officer Meyer. Officer Cullen spoke to IH calmly, and then Meyer then placed his hand on IH's left arm to detain her. At that point, IH gave the children to another adult female friend, and Meyer detained IH. There is no video evidence of any officer ever causing IH to go to the ground or causing her to be injured. A stolen doll valued at $18 was recovered from the suspect vehicle and where Mr. DA was driving and Ms. IH was the passenger with her two children. While at the scene, Officer Meyer failed to notify any of the three supervisors of the force that he had just used and later failed to document that force in his incident report. There was no obvious or reported injuries at the scene, and either DA or IH were made available to PSB investigators for any subsequent interviews or any medical records provided that might have substantiated any claims of injury. So I do have a couple of videos here that was shot by citizens in the area. The first one will depict Officer Meyer already making verbal contact with the suspects in the suspect vehicle. I don't believe you can really see him at first. Officer Cullen will arrive as his backup, and you'll see him with your gun drawn. And the second video, if you listen to the first video, you'll hear the commands and the shouting from Officer Meyer. The second video, taken by, I believe, another person on the second floor balcony, will depict Officer Meyer when he was patting down or searching DA, and then kicked his right leg, causing him to buckle, and then his subsequent contact with IH. So, Dan, if you can play those videos, I'm ready. Okay, thank you, Dan. Officer Meyer's appointment was terminated. Phoenix Civil Service Board later upheld the termination. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. Do you have any questions?
Mike, I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to get some clarity. Was there not, from what I read, it inferred, but it didn't really state, was there a failure to follow lawful order of a police officer in an attempt to get that vehicle to stop the initial from the scene of the initial crime?
Not that I read. Based on what I read in totality at the scene of the shoplifting, the officer that flagged Mr. DA down, who was driving the suspect vehicle, said that they had met eye contact and that he was yelling at him as he's driving away to stop. So he felt that DA did know he should have stopped for the officer at the shoplifting scene, but I didn't see that as an actual charge.
Okay, but he did give him a lawful order to stop the vehicle before he left the scene of the initial crime, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think it's important that everybody watching the video has to keep in mind this is not something that just sparked off right there at the apartment complex and whatnot. Did they not take the children with them during the commission of the crime?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the children were in part taken with, while their intent was to go into the store and commit a crime, they took the children with them while committing the crime. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Mr. Chair, it's Lisa Weiss.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I don't have a question at this point. With regarding the presentation and watching the video, I would make a motion to initiate proceedings against Mr. Myers' police or peace officer certification.
Okay. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, John Johnson, I second the motion.
Okay, we have a second. Do we have any votes for ayes or any votes for nays?
Mr. Chair, please, Weiss, can we do the ayes first, please?
Okay. Can I get the ayes?
Aye.
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 Okay, is there any nays? Okay, motion passes. Okay, the next case is Carl Ramirez.
Yes, sir. Carl Ramirez is a former Phoenix police officer. Actually, he was reinstated, so he is a current Phoenix police officer. On June 10th of 2018, Officer Carl Ramirez authored a search warrant affidavit for a residence in Phoenix. The search warrant was a request to obtain evidence and arrest suspects who had just committed shoplifting and aggravated assault with a firearm. Officer Ramirez wrote in the search warrant affidavit that a suspect had been identified through a photo lineup despite having been told more than once by the officer at the original crime scene that a photo lineup was not used. On July 13th of 2019, Officer Ramirez was issued a notice of investigation by the Phoenix Police Department investigators, PSB. And after his interview, it was determined that Officer Ramirez provided false and misleading statements to PSB investigators. Over the course of 10 hours on the night in question when he wrote the search warrant, Phoenix officers from patrol and the SAU, or Special Assignments Unit, had contained the suspects who were barricaded themselves in the residence. Ultimately, the suspects were taken into custody after SAU's chemical agents and suspects fired upon the officers, which officers returned fire at the suspects. During this barricade, Officer Mendez and Officer Corrales responded to the Home Depot, which the original shoplifting occurred, and relayed information to the officers at the suspect's location. During this same time, Officer Ramirez began collecting information while at the scene where the suspects were barricaded to author a search warrant affidavit for the residence. Officer Ramirez spoke with Officer Mendez over the telephone and discussed the identification of the suspects. Ramirez eventually completed the search warrant affidavit and obtained a search warrant from the Maricopa County Superior Court. Several hours after the search warrant was signed by a judge and served by SAU, Officer Ramirez notified Patrol Sergeant Mashad that there was an error in the information that he wrote in the search warrant affidavit. Ramirez explained to the sergeant that he had written the search warrant affidavit that the suspects had been identified through the use of a photo lineup, but he had since learned that the suspects had been identified through the use of a single photo, not a photo lineup. PSB assumed this investigation, and the investigation revealed that Officer Mendez spoke to Officer Ramirez on the telephone while Mendez was at the Home Depot and Ramirez was at the search warrant scene. The officers exchanged information about what is occurring or what had occurred at each location, and Ramirez told Mendez that he, Ramirez, was authoring a search warrant affidavit for the residence where the suspects were barricaded. Officer Ramirez then asked Mendez if he could show a photo lineup to the witnesses at Home Depot. Mendez explained to Ramirez why he was not willing to show a photo lineup to the witnesses and told Ramirez the photo lineup was not necessary to establish probable cause to obtain a search warrant. Loss prevention officers at Home Depot confirmed that they were not shown a photo lineup and described the events surrounding their contact with Officer Mendez and Officer Corrales in a fashion consistent with the information provided to PSB investigators by Mendez and Corrales. Additionally, Officer Mendez and Officer Corrales met with Officer Ramirez at the scene of the search warrant while Ramirez was still writing the search warrant affidavit, and Mendez again told Ramirez that a photo lineup was not shown. Despite having been told by Officer Mendez that the witnesses had not seen a photo lineup, but in fact had seen a single MVD photo, Officer Ramirez wrote in his search warrant affidavit, quote, officers that contacted the loss prevention at the Home Depot and the victim or customer that followed the suspect vehicle showed photo lineups, and Mr. BM and Mr. JB were identified as the suspects. Officer Ramirez then completed the search warrant affidavit and submitted it to the Maricopa County Superior Court judge. Under oath, Ramirez swore the information in the affidavit and warrant was true. Officer Ramirez told PSB investigators several things which conflicted with information obtained from other witnesses. During PSB interviews with Officers Mendez and Corrales, both officers provided clear information on what had occurred, to include details of the telephone and face-to-face conversations with Ramirez, where Mendez clearly told Ramirez that a photo lineup had not been shown and only one photo was utilized. Officer Ramirez and Mendez told him a photo lineup had, Ramirez said that Officer Mendez told him a photo lineup had been done, and Ramirez denied having an in-person conversation while writing the search warrant affidavit in his patrol car at the scene. Ramirez told PSB investigators he was directed to author the search warrant affidavit by Sergeant Mashad, but Sergeant Mashad later said Ramirez volunteered to start the affidavit. PSB investigators asked Officer Ramirez if he had any further conversation with Mendez about the suspect identification between the times they spoke on the phone and when the search warrant was signed and when the house caught fire later. Ramirez said he did not have any conversation with Mendez about the identification during that time. PSB investigators explained to Officer Ramirez that Mendez and Corrales had given very different accounts on what occurred than Ramirez had given. Ramirez said that he would have known that only one photo had been shown. If only one photo had been shown, he would have told Sergeant Mashad that we have to stop because I can't write the warrant. Officer Ramirez said that he would have known that there was no photo lineup shown because that if he didn't have that, then he would have not had enough probable cause to get the search warrant in his mind. PSB investigators asked Officer Ramirez if he believed the photo lineup was the critical key factor in obtaining the search warrant. Ramirez replied, yes. Officer Mendez said he told Officer Ramirez, quote, dude, I'm not going to do a photo lineup. Let's wait to get these guys in custody. We'll get current photos, and then we'll do a photo lineup afterwards. Officer Mendez believed taking photos at the time of the arrest would provide more of an accurate depiction of what the suspects looked like when they committed the crime versus using older photos, which might not be as accurate. Mendez explained that he knew a one-on-one identification or a photo lineup was the best method of identification, and he knew using one photo was not enough. If they were arrested, the suspects, they would need to do a photo lineup or take the witnesses for a one-on-one identification later. However, Mendez felt there was sufficient probable cause for the warrant without including a photo lineup. Mendez was confident he had explained to Officer Ramirez what had transpired when the witnesses saw the photo, and Mendez said he repeatedly told Ramirez he would not do a photo lineup, and he did not do a photo lineup. Mendez said he also told Ramirez that Ramirez had enough information to write the search warrant affidavit without the photo identification. Officer Mendez said he and Officer Corrales arrived at the scene of the search warrant and found Officer Ramirez seated in his patrol car typing the search warrant affidavit. Mendez said Ramirez asked again if the photo lineup had been presented, and Mendez responded, quote, no, Carl, we didn't do a fucking photo lineup, unquote. PSB investigators asked Officer Mendez how Ramirez responded to this, and Mendez and Ramirez told him something to the effect, quote, well, we'll figure it out, unquote, or I'll fix it later. Mendez said Ramirez told him, guys, I'm done. Mendez said he explained again to Ramirez to simply put in the affidavit that the witnesses saw the MVD photos and it was not clear if it was the suspects or not. Officer Mendez and Ramirez approached him after the suspects were in custody later and said, hey, man, they're questioning the photo lineup thing, but, you know, but you told me. Officer Mendez said he just shook his head in response. Mendez told PSB investigators he was confident that he had made it clear to Ramirez over the telephone and in person at the scene before the search warrant affidavit was submitted that there had not been a photo lineup, and Ramirez should not have put that information in the warrant. Investigators asked Officer Corrales if he heard Mendez's phone conversation with Ramirez. Corrales says, I do remember Dave, or Officer Mendez, saying on the phone, quote, no, I don't need to show the photo lineup, he said. They saw MVD photos. PSB investigators asked Officer Corrales if he remembered that statement verbatim, and Officer Corrales said he would not say that he knew the statement was verbatim, but he was very confident that Mendez told Ramirez they had not shown a photo lineup and that he, Mendez, did declare that there was no photo lineup. Corrales added, matter of fact, following that, I don't remember if it was immediate or within minutes after that, but Officer Mendez's response was, after we take these guys into custody, we should take fresh pictures of them so that we can show them a fresh photo lineup of what these guys look like right now today, because this is when it happened. Officer Corrales said he was standing at the patrol car at the scene when he overheard Officer Mendez tell Ramirez, we did not do a photo lineup. They saw the pictures. We're going to take fresh photos. Corrales said Ramirez responded, I'll fix it after. After the PSB investigation was concluded, the allegation that Officer Ramirez knowingly included false information in a search warrant affidavit was sustained. Also, the allegation of Ramirez providing false and misleading statements having been served a notice of investigation was also sustained. On December 2nd of 2019, Phoenix Police Chief terminated Officer Ramirez's employment. Officer Ramirez appealed his dismissal. And on July 31st of 2020, the City of Phoenix Civil Service Board found that Ramirez did knowingly include false information in a search warrant affidavit that was submitted to a Maricopa County Superior Court judge, and Ramirez provided false and misleading statements to Professional Standards Bureau investigators post-Garrity. Excuse me. The Phoenix Civil Service Board determined that Officer Ramirez's dismissal be modified to a 240-hour suspension. Ramirez's employment was then reinstated effective August 10th of 2020. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Do we know what the ultimate, with regard to the criminal charges and ultimately if the search warrant and the evidence obtained or anything linked to that search warrant were impacted by this information?
That wasn't included in any of the reports I have. I would have to go a little bit further and ask the case agents on that. I didn't see that anywhere that it was impacted.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, can we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, Don Bischoff, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Ramirez, Peace Officer Certification.
Is there a second?
Joe Porfiri, I second Mr. Bischoff's motion.
And for clarity, can I hear the ayes?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Okay, the motion passes. And the next one up is Marcos Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Phoenix Police Officer Marcos Rodriguez. On August 26, 2018, Officer Rodriguez was unprofessional in his duties when he contacted Ms. MG while on duty and in full police uniform. Rodriguez asked for MG's phone number and later contacted her through texting and a phone call. Officer Rodriguez's contact with MG resulted in her providing him with her home address. Rodriguez then drove to MG's residence and made a social contact while on duty by entering her residence and remaining for 15 to 25 minutes. While inside MG's residence, Rodriguez acknowledged later that a conversation took place where he and MG discussed sexual preferences. Officer Rodriguez hugged MG prior to leaving her apartment. Rodriguez acknowledged MG felt a hard object tucked inside his vest carrier, and MG inquired about it. Rodriguez explained to MG that it was his backup firearm and then removed it from his outer vest carrier, still contained in its holster. MG told Rodriguez she was afraid of firearms, and Rodriguez later acknowledged to investigators that he was aware MG told him she was afraid of firearms when he removed his backup firearm from his vest carrier. MG alleges Rodriguez pointed the firearm at her and possibly touched her with the firearm in her left side area. During the PSB investigation, MG did participate in a one-party consent call to Officer Rodriguez while he was off duty. MG mentioned Rodriguez's firearms multiple times. Rodriguez acknowledged he did remove his backup firearm from his outer vest carrier and engaged in dialogue with MG about his firearm and explained to her that it could not have gone off because it was still in its holster. During the one-party consent call, Rodriguez explained in detail the gun could not have gone off unless he put his finger on the trigger and pulled it. Rodriguez told MG the gun was in a holster and the trigger was covered by something he referred to as a ramrod, which prevented him from pulling the trigger. Criminal investigators subsequently submitted felony charges against Officer Rodriguez, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, felony disorderly conduct involving a deadly weapon, and the Maricopa County Attorney's Office declined prosecution on this case, on these, citing there was no reasonable likelihood of conviction. On October 24th of 2019, Rodriguez's employment was terminated. Officer Rodriguez appealed his termination through the City of Phoenix Civil Service Board. On July 31st, 2020, the Civil Service Board voted to uphold Rodriguez's dismissal. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? If there are none, can I get a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Rodriguez, peace officer certification.
Is there a second?
Don Bischoff, second.
Any ayes?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Okay, motion passes. And we are on to the next one, Michael Carlton, Steve Jacobs.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This involves a former Tempe officer, Michael R. Carlton, who on August 9th of 2020 was in physical control of a motor vehicle while having a blood alcohol content greater than 0.2. The TS trooper who, while on an traffic stop, observed the vehicle stopped on the roadway blocking the entrance to a load. The trooper removed himself from his traffic stop and pulled behind the stop vehicle just as the person he noted entered the vehicle into the driver's position. The trooper had noted that this person had staggered walking around his vehicle and appeared to be intoxicated. The trooper noted that the brake lights activated and then deactivated, so he exited his patrol vehicle and approached the stop vehicle. The vehicle operator exited his vehicle, was again noted to stagger as he walked. The vehicle operator was identified as Officer Carlton, who admitted to having been called but refused to submit to a field arrest. Officer Carlton was into custody and transported to a substation where he consented to a blood draw and was likewise administered a breath test. The two samples of Officer Carlton's breath indicated his blood alcohol content to be greater than 0.242 and 2.40 as the samples were taken 2 hours following his initial observation. Officer Carlton did not participate in the Tempe internal investigation and retired effective August 18, 2020. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceeding.
Okay. Is there a motion on the Carlton case?
Mr. Chairman, Don Bischoff, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Carlton's peace officer certification.
Is there a second?
This is Andy LaFever. I second.
Okay. All the ayes?
Aye.
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 Any nays? Okay. Motion passes, and we're on to the next one. Matthew Neunemacher, again, Steve Jacobs.
Yes, this involves also a former Tempe police officer, Matthew Neumacher, who became the subject of an internal investigation for his failure to complete or submit multiple police reports as required by department policy. Between June 14, 2019 and June 28, 2019, Tempe Police Department patrol supervisor began receiving multiple emails from the TPD records section and the city of Tempe prosecutor's office regarding missing reports from Officer Neumacher. A subsequent audit by the supervisor discovered Officer Neumacher had failed to complete 41 reports. The patrol supervisor instructed Officer Neumacher to complete his reports no later than August 31st of 2019. Officer Neumacher failed to do so, and an internal investigation followed. The investigation concluded that at least three of the missing reports negatively impacted the courts and hampered prosecution of two DUI prosecutions and a shoplifting case. The investigation also found that the City of Tempe Prosecutor's Office and the TPD Records Section sent numerous emails to Officer Neumacher inquiring about the status of his missing reports, and Officer Neumacher intentionally failed to respond. It was also noted in the report that Officer Neumacher had received counseling for similar conduct covering the period from July 2016 through October 2017, and then again during January through May of 2018, at which time he received a 20-hour suspension and was placed on a performance improvement plan. Officer Neumacher resigned from the Tempe Police Department effective July 24, 2020. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings.
Is there a motion in the Neumacher case?
Mr. Chair, Tom Kelly, I make a motion to move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Neumacher's certification.
Don Bischoff, second.
All the ayes?
Aye.
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 Any nays? The motion passes, and that will close our new cases, and we'll now move to future agenda items.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing we have that I will discuss with Chairman Masher, the request of the Attorney General's office, and if he agrees, then we will agendize that for our November meeting.
Okay, and with that, if nobody has anything else, I will adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everybody.